السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. The audience in front of me is two. One is a group of most blessed girls at the moment, mothers of the Ummah in the future, inshallah. They have studied to a very high degree a great portion of the knowledge that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought for this Ummah. And one is the rest of us who are known as the general part of the Ummah. Perhaps many of us don't have any knowledge of the Arabic language. We have never heard a great portion of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we have to hear it also, we will not recognize, we will not relate, we don't know the language. We will never understand what this treasure is, what this jalsa is about. So I will give a few examples and I will explain like what this khatam is going to be, that what you will notice. And what is the purpose of this knowledge that this madrasa is imparting and madaris in the world. And why Allah Tabarakala has put the protection and the safety of Islam in the creation of such madaris, in inspiring people to teach this, in inspiring people to learn this. The first verses that were revealed on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was verses regarding knowledge. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq means iqra'il Quran. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was desirous of a revolution. The world of darkness had enveloped the entire alam. There was not a person who was a source of light anywhere. Character had gone out of the window. Character had gone out of the window. Relationship with prostitutes was general. Killing of children was nothing big. Worrying about knowledge was a disgrace. Giving into your desires was an honor. The world had become a world of animals. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit in the cave of Hira, from which in a very beautiful manner he could see the Kaaba. And he had such a desire, a deep desire, how can all of this change? His desire was Makkah Mukarramah for Almighty Allah. It was a desire for the whole world. But for the change to take place, it has to start with knowledge. First revelation was Iqra'il Quran. Read this Quran, which meant read and understand. So the first level is knowledge. And this is what this madrasa is about. This is what the students have acquired. After knowledge will come the second level, which got to do with now understanding the demand of that knowledge. And thereafter revolution is created. Revolution. So when these girls have reached such a high level of knowledge, me and you, since we could not be part of this madrasa, we could not be in the first day of the lesson till the ending, I will explain to you two of the ahadith that these girls have learnt during this year. I will explain to you the first hadith of the most important kitab which they studied, which is known as the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. You would have heard the word Bukhari, Bukhari said, Bukhari said. What is this al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Bukhari and who he wrote it for? Imam Bukhari never write it for these girls. Imam Bukhari wrote it for the entire Muslim Ummah. Why he compiled this?
He wanted that the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an authentic manner to come to that individual who got no time. That's me and you. We got no time. So that individual won't have a chance to go to the scholars to say, this word reached me. I would like to know if really my Nabi said it. If he said it, it's mine. He said, a time will come where the people in the world won't have the time. So I will do the work and say to them, that if you find this narration in my book, then you must know that this is definitely from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what? Then grab it, because it's the message for you. Grab it, it's the message for you. It was not meant for the scholar. As for the scholar was told, there's an ocean of ahadith. You must go look. But for the general busy man, Imam Bukhari rahimullah, Allah inspired him. He said, I'll do that khidmah, that work for you. I want you to get the message which came on the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah preserved through 1400 years. I want that message when it reaches you, you must be so convinced my Nabi said it, that you don't have to worry of the first part, did he say it? Say he said it, now you must go to the second part. It's time to then accept it. Unfortunately, in the English world, a time came where our relationship with the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, forget his words, our relationship with Quran, because of our not having any relationship with the Arabic language, got cut. So we do not even know what that message is in. When we do not know what that message is, we're not relating anymore. Now we will say, how lucky those girls are. Well, someone will say, but the message that they got, that message was also addressed to you. So example, an envelope reached me. An envelope. Someone gave hadiah. Normally in the world you speak about pounds and dollars. I don't know why people speak about it. When I travel in other countries, I see the Arab currency is much stronger than even the dollar. But people will still like that. If you got a dollar, it's like life started. Now imagine in an envelope, in that envelope, which is called hadiah, because it's a gift, everyone's eyes open. So he looks and he says, is there something for me? Meaning you're opening that envelope, maybe the man also put something for me. When the person opens it, everyone waits like, because someone sent hadiah for few people. You want to know, did they think of you? As soon as you hear there's an envelope for you, how happy is it? Then you don't turn and you walk the other way. Then you're asking the person, you never send my envelope. That's all. Where's my envelope? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words, when Allah preserved it, through the different states of madaris and scholars and imams, the entire purpose was a message that came from my Nabi to me. That message must reach me in the most clean, unadulterated manner. And Allah Ta'ala made it reach. That's what you will see today. When these girls will read that final narration, it is an entire book of the message of my Nabi to me. When I say to me, it means to you also. When the message through 1400 years of shaitani effort to make sure the message doesn't reach me, every effort of the devil was broken. They broke one madrasa, Allah brought up another madrasa. They killed one scholar, Allah brought up 10 scholars. They stopped the teaching in one madrasa, teaching started under a tree in another place. Wherever they tried to push Islam down, Islam came up. Just so that one message will not be wiped out at all. And if you have to hear where the Bukhari was written, and the land of Imam Bukhari, and the masjid where he wrote it, and the thousands of scholars in front of him. And then you go in that land and you say, finally the enemy, when they saw so much of work taking place in this masjid, in this town, in the city, then they said, finish the entire city. They took the masjid, they finished it. You'll enter the masjid today, you'll find no one. They will say, once upon a time, thousands of scholars gathered here to learn directly or indirectly from Imam al-Bukhari a message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You say, the enemy finally wiped that place out. But were they able to wipe out the message? Allah tabarakala made it that the word of Imam Bukhari, his book, Imam Muslim, Imam Nasai, Imam Tirmidhi, it was all people who said, let's look after the message. Their land, their masjid, their town, their house got destroyed. But that message went around the world. Today when these girls will complete, this completion is to show that from the side of Almighty Allah, no one will be able to stop the message reaching us. Now comes the issue from our side. Will I also make a step front to say, when so much of arrangements were made for me to get a message, have I ever made a step front to understand what's the message? What's the message? So although you might be a father today and you say, it's my daughter graduating, you might be an uncle who say, my niece is graduating, the message is also for you. The message is also for you. You also have to take a step forward and say to the madrasa, where you all fulfill such a need that the girls have been able to get the message, you have to take a step forward and you say, I now need to get the message. The beginning hadith of this year, which these girls would have studied, which is the beginning, Imam Bukhari's purpose was that he said, I will put the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of you. And this Al-Jami'u Sahih's real name is the compilation of the days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The days means his whole seerah is here. And you take it and you become it. But the crux of the entire seerah, Imam Bukhari, Allah had blessed him with a unique mind. The crux of the entire seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will now come in the first hadith, which is taught on the first day in madrasa, and the last hadith, which will be taught today, or the chapter. The first hadith that was taught will be a hadith regarding be sincere. Be sincere to your cause. Every Nabi that came, enemies came in front of him. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood firm. They said, is it woman that you want? We will get you married to the best. Is it wealth that you want? Is it leadership that you want? It was, just leave what you are doing. But he had one quality, which was called, he was sincere to his cause. In that sincerity, he said, even if you have to put the sun and the moon in my hands, I will not be able to leave what I got. The sincerity, be sincere to the cause. You will see it today in the land of Gaza. You will see it in the land of Palestine. People were approached. They were told to sell a farm, a land which was hardly giving any produce. They were offered dollars to the millions. Sell a land. And a man who was sincere to his cause, he refused to sell even when they threatened him, if you don't sell, we'll kill you. The Ottoman Khalif was told, Sultan Abdul Hamid, sell us the Palestinian land. He said, I can't. He said, the land which was bought with the blood of martyrs, it doesn't belong to me. They said to him, we'll remove you from your position. He said, it doesn't matter. They said, we'll disgrace you in the world. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, we'll have you jailed and your entire family destroyed. He said, it doesn't matter. They said, sell us this land and we will wipe out every debt of the Ottomans. He said, I can't. They finally brought him down. They disgraced him. They jailed him. From the prison he wrote that they warned me they will do this. If someone says, why didn't he just sell the land? You will say he was sincere to his cause. The sincerity. Recently, one person mentioned to us, one man died. When he died, some Israelis came and they said, this land has been sold by this man. He sold it a long time ago. But when he sold it to us, he was so scared of the reaction of his family that he said to us, as long as I'm alive, don't come and take it. Because my family will kill me. When he died, those people came. The family was so upset. They refused to give him a janazah also. What was it? They said, you were not sincere to the cause. And the moment in Gaza, the whole effort of the enemy is, they only want them to renounce one party. That say, we got nothing to do with this party, and the war stops. Who will not want to protect your child? If you ask those people, what is with you? It will be said they are sincere to the cause. The first narration of this kitab is innamal a'malu binniyat, which means sincerity, which means be sincere. Me and you have also to become sincere to this cause of Islam. We have to be sincere in such a manner that if wealth comes in front of us, it can't be the beginning and end of it all. La taj'ali dunya akbara hammina. Let this world not be my final worry. La mablagha ilmina. Let this world not be the end of my knowledge. La ghayata raghbatina. Let this world not be my final desire. I and you also have to be sincere. We have to become so sincere to this cause. This world has now started an Islamic revolution. A revolution, however, comes with the demands of sacrifice. Up till today, me and you perhaps only saw one sacrifice in the last few years. It was called the COVID sacrifice. During the COVID sacrifice, some people's businesses went down. It was a sacrifice. During that time, you saw life from the houses. It was a sacrifice. During that time, you had to make certain decisions. You had to meet with certain people. You had to make a brave step sometime. It was a sacrifice. Very fast the sacrifice came to an end. Then everything went calm. When this revolution is going to start, those that are ready to make a sacrifice for Islam who are sincere, you will be able to say, if it is put in front of you, are you ready to lose so much money? Your answer has to be the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That even if the world is put in my hands, the sun in one hand, the moon in my other hand, I cannot leave this. I have to be sincere. First narration of this kitab. That was the beginning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission. He was indeed sincere to his cause. Nothing else mattered. It was only this. For me and you, nothing else must matter except our Islam. My Islam, the Islam of my children, the Islam of the community. My name must not matter. My fame must not matter. My wealth must not matter. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a lot of wealth. He was sincere to the cause. He came to a time where he has no wealth. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes with a message from Almighty Allah. Aradin anta. That, O Abu Bakr, are you happy with Allah or are you upset? He starts crying. He says, can I be upset with an Allah? How can I be upset with an Allah? He was sincere to his cause. Everything of his was thankful. Sincere to his cause. Allah Ta'ala make us all sincere. These girls who have studied, after that first hadith, the entire kitab, which was known as a kitab of amal, desires what you have to do now. Only that person will do it who's sincere. The world will come in front and salah will be there. I'll have to be sincere to my cause. My nation will come in front and the law will be there. I'll have to be sincere to my cause. I learned certain things in madrasa, but my people will say no. I'll have to be sincere to my cause. I will enter into the world of marriage. My husband will say that in this marriage, in this house, we got certain rules. You, oh girl graduating, will have to say, I have to be sincere to my cause. If I know something to be wrong, I can't accept it. Wealth will come in front of us, I have to be sincere. Sickness might come in front of us, I have to be sincere. The fear of death might come in front. The people of Gaza are indeed the most sincere in the world. Most sincere in the world. That life means nothing for them. Sincere to a cause. Final hadith, or the final chapter, which inshallah now you will be hearing. The chapter got to do with that remember your actions are going to be weighed. You will hear the verse of Quran being revealed, being heard, read. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Imam Bukhari rahimullah ends his kitab with this chapter. That the actions of man are going to be weighed. The beginning of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life was sincerity of your cause. And the end of the crux of the whole thing was every action of yours, every word of yours has to have a weight. It will either create a weight which will make you valuable, or it will create a weight which will make you lose all value. If this one narration that will be read, or this one verse of Quran can come in our minds, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of Qiyamah, we will indeed establish the scale, a scale of justice. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْهًا An oppression will not take place on anyone. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا That atom also of weight, good or bad, it will also be brought. A man will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرًا وَلَا كَبِيرًا What's wrong with this book? It hasn't left anything. So much me and you can also take. If we could not take the whole Bukhari, and every girl who's graduating. Afatul ilmi an nisyan. The problem with knowledge is the next time you'll remember Bukhari is if ever you get the chance to teach Bukhari. Then the first thing you'll say, hey, where's my kitab? Because in your kitab you got notes. By the day you open that kitab, you'll see you can't understand your own notes. Because it was written in such a writing. Then you might see some places there's notes. I don't know in your madrasa, but it's a normal in madaris. In a madrasa, there is so much of Allah's sukoon, tranquility that descends, that many children just can't stay awake. They can't stay awake. So they learn how to write while sleeping. They only realize this year, exam time, where they'll see a page where the alif starts on the top and it goes quite down. So they look at it and wonder, what did I write on that day? It's called, you have sleep talking, you have something called sleep writing. That only happens in madrasa. And amazing that child can sometimes sleep through the whole year and still he passes. That is also miraculous. He still comes off. Afatul ilm, even if you pay attention to the whole thing, man normally forgets. You forget. And it is good that Allah makes man forget. So we forget pain. You're supposed to forget someone who did you down. Sometimes our women don't forget. You're supposed to forget. I know when a child was born in the family, then we went there, then everyone was giving hadaya. Then I saw one auntie. She shouted her daughter, they don't open the hadiah. She wanted to write the names of who sent what they sent. Because you can't forget this. Why? One day when that one's daughter gives birth, I'll check up on my paper. She gave a towel, I'll send a towel. Sometimes people don't forget. I'll sort that one out. 10 years later, you say, I'm inviting this. You don't dare invite that one. She never invited us, her daughter got married. When the daughter got 10 years ago, those people don't forget. You must learn to forget. When you forget, you won't remember the pain. So when you look at someone, you can't tell him, you know what you did to me. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam saw his brothers after years of sin. They looked down, they couldn't forget what they did to him. His first sentence was, the past is forgotten. The past is forgotten. Then may Allah forgive you all. They said, forgotten. Learn to forget. So girls in this madrasa will definitely forget the kitab until the day you have to teach it. At least let us leave with this one narration. And me and you, if you can't get the whole kitab, let's get the first hadith, be sincere to our cause. And as this last hadith is taking part, and we all hear in this lesson, at least we will come out and we will say, one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached me. If the whole message never reached me, one message reached me. And because of that message, my entire life goes through a transformation. What message reached me? This verse. That on that day we will weigh. A Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he comes in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Sahabi could be me, could be you. It could be our woman, it could be our men. Young, old, we are all part. So I go in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why the message comes. Our sunnah is a practical issue. It's me. I'm in the hadith. Qa'ada bayna yaday Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man comes and sits in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He got a question. What does his question have to do with me? It got everything to do with me. Because I got that same question. Only I could not ask directly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah tabarakallah made him ask and it reached me. That's my sunnah. So what he asks? He says, Inna li mamlukin. I got a couple of workers. For him it was slaves. Me and you, what we got? I'm a father-in-law, it means I got a son-in-law. A father will always say, my son is the best. When you ask him, how's your son-in-law? Then you just go quiet. A mother will praise her daughter like anything. But when you ask her, how's the daughter-in-law? This word law means like by force she entered the house. That's law, isn't it? Daughter-in-law. That because they signed that certificate, otherwise I wouldn't have given a place here. That's why that English word doesn't really help anything. Doesn't help. Quran speaks about in-laws. It doesn't use the word law. Quran says it is the favor of Allah that He established this relation. Now it becomes a favor, a gift. Your son-in-law and daughter-in-law is a gift. Your mother-in-law, father-in-law is a gift. But when you put that word law there, then the whole thing turns. A person says, he said, I always knew that when you buy roses, you have to expect thorns. He said, I saw it in marriage also. He said, the girl was like the rose. He said, my father-in-law is like the thorn. Part of the package. That word law, we don't have that. So this narration is for me and you. He said, I got a couple of slaves. And like how every father-in-law, mother-in-law, every boss will complain of his worker. Every worker complains of the boss, he complained. That's me and you, he complained. He said, يَخُونُونَنِي وَيُكَذِّبُونَنِي وَيَعْصُونَنِي. Everything wrong they do. They falsify me. They spread stories about me. They are treacherous. They always disobey. Always they are the problem. He said, so naturally I must get upset. So I sometimes just shout them. I just criticize them. Sometimes, وَأَدْرِبُهُمْ, I even hit them. Me and you are that. We will always, when we complain, see a husband and a wife when they fight. You see mother-in-law and daughter-in-law when they fight and they ask the Maulana, you must sort out the matter. Poor Maulana. He can't sleep because if he got WhatsApp, he'll say, titi. And he'll say, one more message. No one will ever say, maybe I'm also wrong. So this final narration now is for me and you. Because وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ. He said, my slaves are all wrong. He said, as for me, I only do what's supposed to be done. I only shout them and hit them, they deserve it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُحْسَبُ. He says, you don't worry about counting. Counting will take place on that day. يُحْسَبُ إِقَابُكَ إِيَامُ. Whatever you did punishing them, it's being recorded. And their evil will be also recorded. He says, if it is then found, that فَإِنْ كَانَ كَفَافٌ. On that day when things are put on the scale, if it balances out, then you're lucky. لَا لَكْ وَلَا عَلَيْكَ. It won't benefit you, it won't benefit against you, you just made it. He said, and if it's found your punishment is less, كَانَ فَضْلًا. You'll score. You get a little bit weight on your scale. You get value. He said, but if it happens that your reaction to them is found to be more than the wrong that they did, اُقْتُسَّ لَهُمْ مِنْكَ الْفَضْلِ. He said, remember, qisas will be taken. You know that word qisas? Retribution. Good will be pulled away from you. And it will be given to somebody else. He said, you don't worry of counting. That sahabi radiallahu anhu goes in a corner and he starts crying. This sahabi must be me and you. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, and this is what the narration you're going to hear or the verse you're going to hear. And I want you to remember this. He says, أَوَمَا تَقْرَأُ. Why are you crying now? Do you not read? And this is the message. Do you not read? وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ. That Allah already told you this, what I'm telling you. That on that day we will establish the scale. He said, don't you read that? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then read it. So now today me and you read it and heard it. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ. That we will establish that scale on that day. And oppression will not take place on anyone. We will see to the records. And me and you are being told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا تَقْرَأُ. Do you not read it? So every girl graduating, you must leave with this message. وَمَا تَقْرَأُ. Do you not read it? Remember this one verse at least. It is your last dars of Bukhari. And for the rest of us, it's our first dars of Bukhari. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ. But it can transform our entire life. Every word of mine, every action of mine, it has a recorder. It is going to be put on the scale. I have to worry of that day. I can't worry about things now. May Allah Tabarakallah allow the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which in a most miraculous manner reached us. Let me and you make that one step forward to hold on to this message. To take it for me, the message. To put it on my head, to kiss it. And then immediately to give a like reaction to this message. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.